Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Good morning. How's everyone doing? We're just going to do something slightly different. The band's just going to play Let's Just Stand to Our Feet. I know you've just sat down. And we're just going to celebrate this morning the Lordship of Jesus Christ in this place. And you know, right now we're going to start a series. And I'm believing as we start this series at this new season at September that lives are going to change. Yes? Come on, church, just a few people's convinced. Come on, lives are going to change in this place. I'm believing. Because we're going to be talking about values and vision. And values are important because values create environment, yes? And if you know anything about gardening, which I'm not that, I've got just grass on my garden, but environment is key. And I believe that as we look at this series, something in the environment of your life is going to change. And God's going to start doing something. I believe as we look at this series that the environment of this church is going to change. Anyone with me? That God's going to show up. And then we're going to talk about vision, about what God wants to do in your life and God wants to do in our lives. And before we take our seats, because we're just going to take a moment just to praise, because every time we're going to start this, every time I speak on this subject of vision and values, we're going to read a verse. And if you've been in the church for a long time, you probably know this verse off by heart. But if you're new to church or you're new to this church, then I'm just going to read these words to you, because it's everything that I feel God's heart is for our lives and for the Church of Jesus Christ living in 2019. So before I read it, I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't know what picture you have in your mind when you think of the church. And as we think about our lives and we think about our church, the Word of God in Isaiah came to Isaiah to speak to the people of God, to speak to them about what he wanted them to do, and as a result of what, if they do what they a call to do what he said he will do. And in Isaiah 60 verse 1, it says this, and it's for your life and for mine. Arise and shine. I don't know what you feel like this morning, but God wants to say to every one of you right at the start of this series and over this church, arise and shine. Why can you arise and shine? Why can the Church of Jesus Christ arise and shine? Because he says, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Come on, let's give God some praise. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth. Is that right? And thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon who? Upon you. No matter what anyone says this morning, no matter what your situation, God, his glory, but the Lord rise on you and his glory appears over you. Verse 3, nations will come. Did you hear that? Nations will come to your light. And kings, queens, prime ministers, people of influence will come to the brightness of your dawn. I want to prophesy over this place right now that this is the house of the living God. And we believe we're not the tail, but we're the head. God wants to do something amazing in the Church of Jesus Christ. And we declared this 11 years ago over this church with in a very different building with what? 6 car parking spaces and a lot of mice, but I caught them. And with a lot of different congregation And this week, we're just going to just pause for a moment, because this week's been an important week, because this week, on Tuesday, and if we've got a picture, guys, that would be really helpful. The Lord, and I didn't know this, well, I do now because I was a bit ignorant, but the Lord Lieutenant of the whole of Derbyshire came to this building. And I didn't know, but the Lord Lieutenant came as a representative of the Queen of England. Yes? Some of the church staff and volunteers, especially my dad, said, I really wish I wasn't wearing shorts. But I said, don't worry, he can take your knobbly knees. And he came to this place, and the first thing he did when he walked, the Lord Lieutenant, to bring a message from the Queen, he walked in and went, wow, what is this place? And he brought a message about how, and check this out, church, if you've been on the journey, how the River Erewash and the Erewash Canal, when that was opened, transformed this whole area. And I said, wow, you're doing this service, and I need you to remind you, you're sat in Erewash Auditorium. And not just this, but right here, and I didn't see it at first, was a plaque, a certificate. And on this pulpit stood the handwritten signature of the Queen of England. Come on, church, right now. And before we take our seats, we just want to say a cry of praise. And we're just going to declare hope and life over this whole area, yeah? So right now, wherever you've come from, your town, wherever you've come from right now, let's pray that salvation will break forth. Let's pray that God will do something new in this place. Are you ready, church? Bam, let's just play something. Are ready? Let's have a bit of a cry. We'll do it. Let's have a bit of a... One. Are you with me, church? One, two, three. Come on, right now, let's start saying, God, we believe you're going to do something amazing in this place. Lord, we just pray that your name will be glorified in this place. And Lord, we just want to recognize everything that you're doing. And want to thank you for fulfilling your word. Amen. Amen. Good. Well, you may take your seats. I thought that would be good because I just wanted to encourage you. And some of people laughed at me because I bowed and called him sir. But I've got no problem in the right sense of bowing in with authority. Is that right? As Christians, we should be used to authority. It's not my message, but anyway. Because we're following someone whose name's the Lord. Yeah. So it's great. Well, great to see everyone this morning. And welcome to my series of Values and Vision. And the word value means in the dictionary something of significant importance. Yes, and I'm sure if you're a Christian or maybe not, we all have a value system. Yes, and because our values create our behavior creates our environment, and that our values are really important. And I often think in a very complex, changing world that we live in, or is it just me? It's good as a church that we know what we stand for. Absolutely. Yes? Because we're a house with values, yes, with strong convictions and strong values, which we're going to look at this month. And then we're going to look at, in the end, of some vision. And vision means the power of anticipating that which will come to be. Amen? I think that's an amazing understanding of vision. And then at the end of the month, we're going to look at some incredible vision about how God wants us to live our lives. Before I kind of unpack the first value, I was praying and I just want us to set us up on this journey of values and vision with the reading, if it's on the screen, in Hebrews, that actually Pastor Steve shared this last week. It's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And because I really think that we need to get in the right frame of mind when you talk about values and vision. And in Hebrews 11, we know that this is a person, he's speaking about Abraham. And what God is saying is that we all should be like Abraham, that Abraham had certain values, yes. And he lived a certain way and he was commended for his faith. And so it says this in Hebrews, and it says Hebrews 11, chapter 9 and 10, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were his heirs, with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward. Everyone say looking forward. He was looking forward to a city with foundations. Everyone say foundations. Whose architect and builder. Everyone say builder. Architect and builder is God. And before we start this series, I just feel three words to set us up in the right frame of mind is, for some people, it's a time of looking forward. Of looking forward. I don't know who that applies to, but I think for us as a church, we moved into this building and now I feel we're in a season of looking forward. You know, Abraham had a bit of a crazy journey, but what God commended with his faith, he had to leave a lot of stuff. Yes, he had to leave a lot of relationships. He had to leave a lot of things to follow God because God said to him, he commended him because Abraham let nothing stop him from looking forward. And I really believe for some people that you can't look at values and vision if you're not looking forward. Yes? The only reason you go onto foundation is if you're looking forward. You're looking forward. And I really feel maybe you're here and you thought, you know what, Andy, I just live my life by, you can't drive a car through putting it in reverse and looking through the rearview mirror. Has anyone tried to do that? Kind of get a bit of an accident. I really feel a prophetic word for some people is in your life, you're not ignoring your past, but you've got a past, but it is time for you to look forward in your life. And I really sense God say, it's not just about looking forward, but it's about looking forward to looking forward. Yeah. Yes? Yeah. You know when you're looking forward to something? Yeah. To looking forward to, looking forward to looking forward to. Because Abraham, because if you're not looking forward, you're going to waste the next month if you're in church. Yeah? And right now, maybe at the start, you need to turn and say, the past was the past, and now I've got to build again. Maybe you're just looking at a demolished site or something, but now God's saying, no, it's time to turn, and it's time to look forward. To look forward. It's a time of looking forward for your life. Second one, as we just make sure we start in the right frame line, it's a time, if it's on the screen, to lay foundations. Lay foundations. It's a huge word. Reminds me of a story in America of a young pastor who he took on a church around 20 years ago. One of these, they build nice church, you know, one of these white wooden churches with a tower and one of those really beautiful churches. And he walked in and it seemed better days and there was dust everywhere and dirty carpet and worn out pews and different things and all the beautiful stained glass windows that all, it was near a mining town and it was all kind of got all soot on it and different things, and some of them was cracked. And so him through the church, and they kind of went in and they tore out the floor and revarnished it. They sanded the pews, a bit like we sanded the pews, and reupholstered them, and they took the windows out and they reconstructed them and cleaned them. And they all walked in and was, wow, look at this beautiful building. 2 weeks ago after they'd finished, one of the stained glass windows fell out. Smashed on the floor. I thought, oh. So it's okay, maybe we've used the wrong glue. So they got it fixed, and thankfully it was on the insurance. And then a week later, another of these stained glass windows fell out. I thought, who is this window company? So they got it fixed again, and then another week later, two of the windows fell out. And they thought, what's going on? So then they called an expert, and he did some calculations. He said, yeah, it looks beautiful inside. But you got a major issue with your foundation. Yes? And you can have something looking beautiful, but it won't stay beautiful if your foundation are wrong. Yeah? You know, one of the first things we did in this building, we had a great vision for this building. We had some architect drawings. So I gets excited. Oh, we can chuck a few walls up and do things. And Pastor Steve laughs at me when I'm, how hard can it be? Yeah, famous last words. But anyway, but the first thing, I didn't know you pay someone to sit with you, charging you £200 an hour, a structural engineer. And the first thing they did is they brought this big machine in and they bored a massive hole in the floor. Excuse me, I've just paid for this floor. And you know, like they get some ice out of the Arctic. I don't know if we've got a picture of it. Is the picture there? And the first thing they did, before they put any structures in this building or any weight of vision, it got weighed, it got measured, it was taken to a lab. I mean, I couldn't believe it. And they wrote a report. Because if you're going to carry vision, vision is about carrying weight. Yes? Because vision is very weighty. Just look, read the book of Daniel. God gave Daniel, and how holy was Daniel? God gave Daniel a vision, and it nearly killed him. Yeah? And really, we don't want to just be a church of style, but we're a church of style and substance. Yes? And the report came back saying, do you know what? You have got one of the most solidest, if that's a word, incredible foundation in this building. And because we know that, then we can now put some things on it that will last. In Matthew 7, Jesus says the same words. And I know you may have heard some of this before, but it's important that we, if we've been in church a long time, that we again realize it. The Bible says the foolish man built his house on the sand. Yes? You can have a 10-bedroom mansion and look lovely, but if it's built on sand, it will not last. And I want you to grasp the importance of values. They are foundational for your life. Because we and maybe as I'm talking to you this morning and throughout this session, you know that maybe there's parts of your life where you're thinking, do you know what? I can't build off on that. I can't build on that mindset. I can't build on that belief system. I can't build on that attitude. I can't build on that relationship. Hello? I can't build on that behavior. God can't build on this, can't build on that. And I feel it's going to be a great challenge where God's going to challenge some of you. Are you ready to be challenged? Yeah. Where God's going to say, come on. You've got to remove that which is there, but you can't build off it. And God is going to give you things that you've got to then put into your life for God to give you vision and a wonderful future for your life. Is everyone with me? Yeah? Good. So it's time to lay foundations. And foundations aren't sexy. Is that right? Can we just say that? We all like to choose the wallpaper on the walls, don't we? Or some of the ladies do, or the going sofa shopping. Yes, I like a good sofa shop. I could spend 10 hours at IKEA and all that places. But no one comes around your house and say, oh, look, let me have a look at those foundations. Oh, they've done a good job. You don't really do that, do you? But foundations are important. Get a wriggle on. Foundations are important because, you know, laying foundations. Get to work on our lives. Get to work in the church. What does the Bible say about Zerubbabel, the man who called, God called to build the temple? He says, men will rejoice when they see the plumb line in your hand. Things will happen in our lives around us when we attend to that, which is important. And then the last thing, just to set us up in this part, is it's time to look forward, it's time to lay foundations, and it's time to get excited. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know we're British, yeah, but in this church, we have a kingdom culture, not a United Kingdom culture, so I'm sorry. So it's time to get excited, yeah. And it's time to get excited because this is what I want to get at. If God is talking about looking forward, and if he's talking about foundations, then God is about to build something new in your life. God's about to build something new in this church. God's about to build something new in the Church of Jesus Christ, in our nation, and I'm full of excitement for your life. Even if you're not excited for your life, I'm excited for your life. Amen. So get excited. Amen. Be full of gladness today, because whenever you look at because foundations can be a bit, oh dear me, Pastor Andy, dear not, you're talking, I don't like what you're saying. You ever been like that in church? Oh, he's gone there. Now that's uncomfortable to me. He's actually gone there, which, don't worry, we're going to be nice, but the next time I'm talking, not next week, David Hine, guest speaker, bit of respite for us, and then we'll get back into it. Yeah, so there might be some things, like, but, you know, we need to have some right foundations because God wants to do so much in our lives. So much in our lives, amen. So get excited about your life. So, are you looking forward?
Yes.
You ready to lay some foundations?
Yes.
Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, we got 15 minutes to look at we look at the first value one. But before we do, we're just going to read this because it's a value. And it's in Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is what Isaiah, this is the calling that he had, changed a nation, turned the world upside down. He said, I saw the Lord. Isaiah saw, not many people out of it, he saw the Lord, who we've worshipped this morning. He saw the Lord who we've given to this morning. He saw the Lord. And what does it say about the Lord? I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. Oh, come on. And the train of his robe filled the temple. The first foundation stone that we've had for a lot of years, but we're going to replant it again in this new building, is that we are a church that values reverence. We're a church of reverence. Now, don't mishear me. I'm not talking about we all look miserable and we can't have a good time because outside we all look religious and inside, yes? I'm not talking about that type of reverence. I'm talking about healthy reverence. That we love God so much and we stand in awe so much of what Jesus Christ accomplished for us on the cross that we revere him. And we're a church of reverence. The word reverence means an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. If you want to know how I live regarding my relationship with God, if you know me really well, is that I have an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe. I want to say this morning, I need to remind you who you're serving. Because if awe came back into the church. Psalm 97 says this. You might think, I'm not that persuaded about this, but in Psalm 97 it says this. The Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Amen. Amen. Whether we get a deal on the 31st of October, or there's no deal, or whatever backstop, I want to say, I'm not trying to be political, but the Lord reigns. Amen. 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 No matter who's on the throne of England, no matter who's in number 10, no matter who's with you in your life, maybe over your employment, maybe over your family, maybe over your sickness, the Lord reigns. And he says, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. And let the earth be glad. Come on. The Lord reigns, church. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns over your life. The Lord reigns. Because when we understand the Lord reigns, then we can be glad. Amen. The Lord reigns. These climate change people, and I think we should look after the planet. Absolutely. Get a young generation, they don't know the Bible, and they're standing crying, literally thinking the world's going to end. Yes, and we should look after our planet. Absolutely. It's God's creation. But this world won't end until God says it's going to end. Yes, because the Lord reigns. I'm not saying, don't mishear me and say, we should look after our planet. But let's just get some context. The world won't stop until God says it's going to stop. Because the Lord reigns. Let the earth be glad. Let the distant shores rejoice. Clouds of thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes out before him and consumes his foes on every side. His lightning lights up the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord. Before the Lord, all the earth, the heaven proclaim his righteousness, and all people see his glory. Oh, are you encouraged, church, that you've come and this is the God that we serve? And because of these truths, that the person that we follow and serve and love, that we show deep respect, tinged with awe of who we have in our lives and the God that we serve. Some people say, I don't look like a church minister. And I don't know, you make that decision about me. But I'm a man of reverence. And we are a church who shows deep respect, tinged with awe, about the things of God. Everyone say amen. And maybe this morning, God right now is reminding you who he is in your life, in your family, in your world. The Lord reigns. Josh Calder, the Lord reigns over your future. Come on. The dreams, desires, the Lord reigns. Chill out. The Lord reigns. Amen. So now we're just going to move on and then we're done. To who and what, or to whom and what do we show reverence? Two, we're going to look at three things and I'm finished. And we'll do the rest another time. Because it's great about talking about reverence, but how does this look like? And we'll drill it more into more detail next time, but a few things. We are a church that reveres the presence of God. Amen? What does reverence mean, a reverence church? It means that God comes first all of the time. Yeah? That's who we are as a church. It's our foundation of everything we do in New Horizon Church. God comes first in my life, no matter how I feel, however bad my week's been, yeah? Even when me and Becky's had a big fallout. Now, I know you think we never argue. Or where you feel really low. Where you feel we value and we revere the presence of God. You know that story in the gospel where when Jesus was coming into the city, and what do the people do is that they get the palm leaves off the trees and they lay them at Jesus' feet. What was they doing? They had a reverent spirit that they were saying, Jesus, we're showing deep respect with a tinge of awe. And as we believe that, as an action for that, we're laying down the palm leaves on the floor to say, welcome to our city. Now, I know that if you're those theologians, they wanted him to take over the Romans and kick them out. But it still applies that they still recognized who he was. And they welcomed him and said, God, Jesus, we welcome you. Please come into our city. And you know, how does that translate in a church of reverence where we can say with God that we lay down and say the things in our lives and say, God, come into our lives. Yes, and go into every room. I don't know if anyone's ever come around your house and you quickly shut certain doors. Yeah. Looks like Hilton Hotel in there, and then here it looks like, you know, Wurzel Gummidge's ensuite. You don't know who Wurzel Gummidge is, I'll tell you later. Yeah. If we revere him, there's no area off limits for God. And a word for you, you may have God in your life, but there's certain things. Yeah. God, you can have this, but you can't touch that. Yeah. But because we're a church of reverence, there's no area where God, where we say, God, come in. God's not shocked by your Wurzel Gummidge bedroom. I would be if it's on your duvet. It was, but his face, I won't go there. But because he knows it's there already, because he sees everything. Yes? Don't be one of these Christians say, when I've got my life sorted, I'll ask God to come into my life. And that ain't gonna happen. You might say, Annie, my life is a mess. Well, brilliant. You're in church, say, God, he knows it. He loves you. And he'll help you. Maybe as a reverence you want to invite him him in. In Exodus 3. Where Moses, God turns up and speaks into Moses' life. And Moses is in the presence of God. And what does God say? He says, Moses, take off your sandals. For where you stand is holy ground. Do we still believe this, church? Because I do. Where you're standing is holy ground. Oh, my shoes would be off. I've got the opportunity to stand on holy ground. Who's going to empower me to change the world? Yeah. Get those shoes off. What does the shoes represent in your life? Maybe there's things in your life right now where the Holy Spirit said, you know what? You can't build off that. Because I'm a reverent person, I have to let things go. And yes? But we do it because we show deep respect with a tinge of awe. The presence of God. What about King David why God loved him? Because he knew what it was back then. The presence of God was in the ark and the ark had been stolen. And he knew the consequence of God's people moving forward with no presence, with no power. Maybe you've watched Indiana Jones. Yeah. There's a problem with the plot in the Indiana Jones because in the Bible, if any army tried to use the presence of God for evil, it would kill them. So he should have just let Hitler had it. The Nazis would have been defeated. Yeah, but that is only a film. But anyway, it's a bit of a... So really, it should have been a film. Just go, give it him! They'll all die! Sorry, I don't want people to die, but Hitler was a bad man, but anyway. So it would have saved a lot of people, right? But anyway, Thanks for laughing. I've said that before and it went down. People was like, I'm not really sure. And God's people got the ark back, the presence of God. Yeah. And David, the king, because he knew what it meant. He knew what it meant for him. He's not just giving it the old. Oh, how lovely. How lovely. No, he's coming in. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, we've got the presence. Come on, Jerusalem. Come on. Dum, 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 dum. Who's ever higher? Boom, boom. Oh, dear me. I know, I dance like a dad. It's terrible. Do, do, do. I'd love someone to be giving it the robot, you know what I mean? Like, and he's like, come on. Yeah, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The Bible says he danced. He said, you know what? I'm not bothered what anybody else says. Because what God thinks of me is number one. Yes? And that's not a license to be stupid. But he said, I'm living for the audience of one. And I'm going to get excited at the presence of God. I'm going to get excited that God is with me. The Bible says, Emmanuel, who Jesus is, God with us. And he said, no matter what I'm facing, I'm getting excited. You know, some people despised him. Actually, someone says, how dare this guy danced? I want to say, ooh, be careful if you criticize people praising. Because there were serious consequences for a life. I want to say, he danced. Or maybe God called me on a dance floor. Yeah, I feel the world stole and dance. I want to see one day the church. My mum was a professional dancer. I liked a good dance, but could never dance in church without feeling a bit weird. I want to say, you can dance in this church. I want to dance in this church. I was here last night praying. I was dancing in this place. Amen. And sometimes when I get in bed and my feet touch my wife's body, and she knows when I've been dancing for God because her feet are hot. My feet, and it burns her. And she says this to me, every time you get in bed and burn me with your feet, I know everything's going to be all right. I know we're going to smash it because there's praise in the house. We're going to finish in 5 minutes, yeah? So we revere the presence of God. Amen. Not a clue where I am, but I've got it. We're a church. We're a church that reveres the presence of God, but we're a church that reveres the Word of God, the Bible. Amen? Can you remember where it is in your house? Yeah. If you're going to have issues. Yeah. 2 Timothy 3, 16. All Scripture. Everyone say all Scripture. All Scripture. Not the bits you like. Not the bits that's politically correct. Not the bits that fit with today's culture. The Bible says all Scripture. We're a church that believes that all Scripture is God-breathed. I'm not saying all of it's easy to understand, but all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. 5 billion Bibles have been sold. Who thinks that's amazing? It's the bestseller. If you look at the bestseller book list, they don't put the Bible in because the Bible's always there. That's how popular in every language, in every culture. If you're an atheist this morning, I respect your viewpoint, but just think about that. Just think, if you go to the Amazon rainforest, every society worships something. It was my journey, one of the reasons I came to faith. Because we're created to worship. And if we're created to worship, then I believe we're created to worship God. So just think about that in your life. We believe in the Bible. In Psalm 12, verse 6, it says, the word of the Lord is flawless. Flawless. Get a diamond, it's trying to look for flaws, the imperfections. The Bible says it's flawless. It's faultless. It's timeless, church. It will last forever. Kingdoms of the earth have tried to take it away and smash it to pieces, but the word of the Lord stands. Joshua 1, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the left or the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book. I know we're in the New Testament now. We've got all the book, but it still applies. Keep this book, the law, always on your lips. Are you listening, church? Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Amen. It's amazing being in church. Ooh, it's here. We've just got to get it between our ears. We've got to get it in here. Yeah. Last thing, then, we are a church that reveres the presence of God. We're a church that shows deep respect with a tinge of awe to the Word of God. That's why I'm preaching this morning. Not because I would like to talk, because God needs to talk. And then the last thing, we're a church, and then we finished, that reveres the will of God. The will of God. The will of God. You know, when the Lord Lieutenant of Derbyshire came out to represent the Queen, and he had guards who came with him, and this girl all in fantastic uniform, and he got out of the car, and I'll probably be rubbish at it, but she was like, "But I love it." That there was a sign of authority. You see, reverence affects your posture. It affects the posture where she was saying to him, "I'm here to serve you. You want anything, it's my job. Just tell me to go, I'll go. Tell me to do, I'll go." And we had a lady who gave us protocol lessons of what to do and what to say. That's why I bowed and said, "Hello, sir." He walked into my office in his full uniform, and I didn't know this, and Becky dropped the kids off. Yeah, it looked like a bomb's hit it. Lego. They're watching Mr. Bean on telly on my laptop. The Lord Lieutenant walked in. Timothy said, "What are you wearing?" And James said, "I'm building a dinosaur egg." He was a lovely man, though. He was very gracious. It's important because Jesus tells us to pray. It's important when God includes it. Because don't just pray about your own life. Pray about your own life, but come on, think big. He says, "Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen. Amen. You know, we're a church that reveres the will of God. You know, we are a church that moved out of our old building, yes, and left it empty because God said. And we moved into a theatre. Oh, bless the Lord for the theatre, yes. And we, can I remember that? And we made a school what had trees growing out of it. We made it into an impact centre so we could do some community work. We did it because the Lord told us to do it. We then sold our building and we became homeless, even though we didn't know where we was going. Because what did the Bible say about Abraham? He left even though he didn't know where he was going. If you need to know where you will be going until God says, until you move, it's not going to happen. Because you need faith. Because I'd rather have God with me. If God's with me, I'm at home. Are you with me? The fear is losing God. It's not about losing stuff. If God's with me, I can lose all the stuff. But if God's with me. And we're a church of reverence because we took this building on when we didn't have the money. But God says, "Come on, you can do this." And we did it. And we built this building not because we've got any ego or any, but we built this building because God asked us to do it. Come on, church, let's give God some praise. And we show reverence. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to close. And we show reverence to the will of God. We know that. And as I finish, We don't just show reverence to the will of God when he asks us to do something very glamorous and calls us to Mauritius to be a missionary or something like that. Even that would be difficult. You know, sometimes there's things that are hard in our lives. In Matthew 26, where Jesus, we find him in the garden. I want you to remind you this morning, this is the man that we follow. Where Jesus, God's speaking to him about going to the cross. And Jesus is thinking, this is hard. I've got to go to the cross. He knows everything what the cross entails. And he must be thinking, I'm 33 and God's asking me to do this. It's going to cost me everything. And the Bible says he was that in kind of, that he was sweating drops of blood. Hello? And then he comes to that amazing thing. Because he says to God, he says to his father, is there any way that this cup, that this thing that you want me to do can be passed? And he knows it can't be. It's his. What does he say? Oh, I want to say, church, if we all have this, it's going to change our lives. And he says, on his knees, yeah, God, it's not my will. Not my will, but your will. It's not my will anymore. And I've got to give up stuff. Maybe right now, I had to give up loads of stuff. Gave up my work, my car, a relationship, everything when I was 21. I had virtually nothing left. But God was with me. Amen. And as we finish right now, we're a church and we're going to lay it of reverence. When we talk about God, when we speak about God, when we read the Bible, when we pray, every event, when we serve in the coffee bar, sound, car park, whether you work in the week, whenever you volunteer, we are a church in every aspect that shows an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe to the presence of God, to the word of God. And what was the last thing? Because I forgot. To the will of God. And right now, let's just pray that right now we cement something in our hearts. Whatever you feel, God. Say, God, I pray we put the foundation stones in our lives. We revere your presence. We stand in awe of you. We stand in awe of the cross and how much you love us. Lord, we show an attitude of deep respect tinged with awe to the word of God, that all scripture is God-breathed. But Lord, we say sorry, maybe that we don't read our Bibles enough. We say sorry if you've not read your Bible in a year and you're just living off Sunday preachers. Or living off podcasts, can I say, please, keep coming to listening to preachers, but can I encourage you, dust off that Bible. Dust off that Bible. You'll be successful and prosperous wherever you go. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. And Lord, we revere your will. We say in those words of Jesus, knowing how much it cost him. Not our will. Not what we want to do. Not what we feel we're entitled to. Not what we just want to get out of life. But God, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All God's people said, amen. Come on, church, let's give God some praise in here. Amen.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.